The three types of wisdom lie. Whenever you are not peaceful and not happy, the evils of greed, hatred, and delusion are there. Whereas wisdom lead to peace, harmony, love, happiness, and joy. This is the Dhamma to contemplate constantly, and it is a very good check for all cultivators. So this paragraph is the gem, is the most important. You can contemplate, reflect, and check whenever you cultivate. This will keep you in focus. You will not deviate. So what I share here is very easy. First, detect your heedlessness. Whenever you are not peaceful and not happy, this is very easy. When you have mindfulness, you will have the ability to be aware. Because the slightest unhappiness, suffering or misery or stirring of the mind, you can feel it. That's why later on you cannot do. Because all this manifests as very, very fine, subtle suffering. And you can feel it. Because you can feel it, it cannot move. It cannot continue. Where you understand. So these are the pointer that I share with you all. And you all have to make use of it. Whenever you are not peaceful and not happy, means you are not meditating already. You don't have the wisdom. The evil roots are there. So what are the evil roots? Greed, hatred, and delusion. Root of all evil. They are there. Whereas you have the wisdom, your mind state becomes different. Whereas with wisdom, it leads to peace. No more agitation. Then there is harmony. There is love. There is happiness. And there is joy. So if your mind state throughout the day cannot be in this state, means you don't have the wisdom. You are not cultivating correctly. You still have a long way to go. Yeah. So this is the Dhamma to contemplate constantly, I use the word. And it is a very good check for all cultivators. So the checking is very simple. Yeah. Are you most of the time peaceful, aware, happy, with joy, silent, peaceful, tranquil in your mind state? And are you able to be at peace with harmony and understanding? So these are all the appropriate way to check your cultivation. If you have cultivated correctly, it will lead you to heedful living. That's why heedful living is so different, so beautiful. It's without the heedless thinking, the heedless mind state. So heedlessness is when you are not able to control your mind, when you are not able to develop the understanding of your mind. So this mind that is heedless, do what it likes. Yeah, it lacks spiritual faculty. So it has the mental hindrance. It thinks a lot. It's restless. It's full of restlessness, fear, worry, anxiety, doubt, sorrow, and lamentation. Then there is the sensual desire. At times, it develops boredom, lethargic mind, sleepiness of mind. So sloth and torpor, all these mental hindrances, they will take over and they will engulf your mind state. That's why heedless living is miserable, leads to suffering, leads to misery. The Buddha said, the heedless are as if dead. Whereas heedful living, the heedful never die. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Means you are destined for enlightenment. So heedful living means you are constantly aware, ever mindful. That's why your mind state is very peaceful, very calm, very tranquil, full of joy, happiness, and harmony. Then there is this inner peace, inner awareness, inner tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, clarity of mind. So all these are the characteristics of a trained mind, a heedful mind. So this is how you check and develop the meditation, okay? The Buddha reprimanded Ananda on the saying, see no evil, hear no evil, then you are peaceful. Because according to the Buddha, evil or not evil is all in the mind. So always remember that. Because your mind decides whether your mind has wisdom or no wisdom is where the difference is. That's why I always say the user of that mundane mind, that thought process. If the user have wisdom, then thought become wholesome, right thought. If the user is deluded, then thought become evil, wrong thought, negativity or mind state. So this is very easy to see. Eh? So the Buddha reprimanded Ananda because according to the Buddha, evil or not evil is all in the mind, whether you have wisdom or not. The world is the world and it's not a problem. You have the wisdom to confront its reality. But nobody can make you unhappy or miserable unless you allow yourself to be so via your own self-delusion. So we already gone through all this many times. Right? You have to reflect and always remember this. Why are you not happy, miserable, not peaceful? You hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy is entirely your choice. Don't tell me you don't know how to choose. Can't you just choose to be happy? So this understanding is very important. When you understand this, you tell yourself, if I already understood the Buddha's teaching, the Buddha Dhamma, then it's very easy for me to choose. But I have this teaching. I choose not to become miserable. Then I follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. That's how you train. Means you avoid Dhammapadavas 1. You train yourself to be heedful, to be ever mindful, so that happiness will follow you like the shadow that never leave you. Means you train your mind to be ever mindful, heedful, so that you will act, speak, and think with a heedful mind, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then happiness will follow you like your shadow that never leaves you. So these are all the understanding. When you understand, you will know how to act. You will know how to live your life. Then you know, will know how to do the appropriate, correct thing. Then you will not be deluded. You will not be heedless. You can never go back to the old way. And cultivation is as simple as that. And from there on, you will progress. You will transform. You will become noble ones, beautiful beings. After that, you can be a blessing to all. Okay, we move on. Eh? There are three types of wisdom. First, wisdom light, the light of prajna of language, is equivalent to our first turning wisdom, sutamaya panya. So prajna or language means through hearing the teaching. Nowadays we can read about it. Eh? Then we can have discussion, dhamma discussion. So then you can also look it up on the internet. Eh? You can repeat the sharing or the talk through audio file and video file. So nowadays, first turning has become more easy. There are more ways to develop the first turning wisdom. You don't have to be there when the Buddha actually proclaimed the essential number, the sutta. In the past, you have to, otherwise you had to wait for Ananda to repeat it. But nowadays, we have the books, we have the recording, the audio file, the video file. But the problem with all this is, the words that come from the Buddha direct is very authentic. But what you read from the book depends on the author. And what you listen from the audio and video file, depend on the speaker, the person who actually delivered it. So probability or deviation, like an authentic quality, they are on it. So there are pro and con. But if you have the understanding, you don't have to worry. You listen, you will understand. If it's the truth, it will stand up to investigation. So don't be gullible. Mm. So first turning wisdom nowadays is a lot easier. Yeah? The availability of technology has helped in many ways. So even Dhamma notes, Dhamma books, Dhamma material, audio file, video file, and even transcript and all those things, they are available, easily available. And you can listen to them. Like our Dhamma website, brotherteo.com, is very useful. It has its full range of repository of Dhamma material, which are very complete and very beautiful, very useful. Mm. It's very penetrative. You listen to them attentively. Mm. Then the second wisdom line is the light of prajna of contemplation illumination. So it's the same. This is equivalent to the second turning wisdom, which we call chintamaya prajna. Means wisdom born of reflection, contemplation, inquiry into the discourse of the Buddha or teaching of the Buddha. Then the third wisdom line is the light of prajna of characteristics of actuality. It's equivalent to the direct see, the actuality, seeing as they are. Yeah? We call it the bhavanamaya prajna. Yeah. Then the next paragraph is very important. Yeah? This one is the four circle. Return all external form or manifestation created by mind. Here, the mind means mundane mind to mental consciousness. Then mental consciousness to the pure awareness, the true mind, to realize the Buddha nature or the oneness nature, which is also the source of all things. So this is what meditation is all about. You look at the four circles, right? This four circle. First, we have this oneness nature or the Buddha nature. So this is a nature. This is not a being. This is the source, Penlaitamianmu, original nature. Originally, it was already there, like that, our true nature. There's a different name to describe all this, but they all point to the same thing, the source of all things, the oneness nature. The Buddha nature. That's why it's a nature, it's not a being, it's not an individual. Then this nature is very strange. Without a form and mind, it cannot come out. Nothing manifests. So it needs the karmic nature through the law of karma to manifest a form and mind. So once that form and mind come out, then this nature can actually arise, come to our existential world, a conditioned world. Take for example, this life, we are born as a human being. This form and mind is a vehicle and a tool for my nature to come. So once this nature come, if it know how to develop the meditation and you know how to silence the mundane mind, then it will realize the true mind. So the first thing to come out from that nature via the mundane mind is that true mind, that silent mind, the awareness nature. So this is the pure awareness, the silent mind. Yeah? Okay. So this is the pure awareness, the silent mind. And this is your true mind. So this is the first thing to come out from your nature. But it needs a form and mind. Without a form and mind, it cannot come out. So this form and mind, when you develop the meditation, you will understand clearly what that true mind is. That is the awareness nature. But it's not a being. It cannot come out and live life. But it's capable of the direct seeing, awakening. It's capable of silent observation to develop wisdom and understanding. That's why this pure awareness, the silent mind, or your true mind, is the meditative. This is the one that meditate and awaken. So later on, together with the triangle, the Trinity, then you will understand meditation clearly. Then from this true mind, that self-awareness nature, the mundane mind come to be. That's why this one move out. From that true mind, this mundane mind come to be. That's why from here, the true mind, which is silent, without word, without thought, nothing, without concept, the mundane mind manifests very fast. The words, the concept, the vocalization, everything arises. So what is this mundane mind? This is our five aggregate of form and mind. This is where the living being is. So the knower becomes the living being, the five aggregate of form and mind. Then this five aggregate of form and mind, which is the living being, become the traveler in space and time. We are karma. Due to karma, you continuously take birth. Born and die, born and die. That's why every life you come, one segment. Then next life, another segment. And all of this birth, you can take different birth. Within the 31 plane of existence, you can take any of this birth. But mainly, they are within the six path. Liu Tao Lun Hui. Means you are either born within the Deva realm or heavenly realm, within the Kamaloka, or you are born in the human realm, or you are born in any of the four woeful states, which is the Asura realm, or the realm of the demons, then the animal realms. Then you have the hungry ghost or Pitta realm. Then you have the hell. The hell realm is a lot of deluded beings that suffer down there. So all these realms, they are possible. That's why Mahayana say, Liu Tao Lun Hui, that is the meaning. But the heavenly realm, the Tian Fa Jie, if you want to go beyond the Kama Loka, the sensual realm, you have to develop special mind state. They call it the jhana, the four jhana, form jhana. Then you can take birth above the any of the 16 Brahma world. Your lifespan is very long. Then beyond the 16 Brahma realm, you have the four Arupa realm, formless realm. And that one, they develop the fifth, sixth, seven, and eighth jhana, the formless jhana. Means they concentrate their mind and develop the infinite space absorption. So when they are able to experience the infinite space of consciousness, they develop the first Arupa jhana, means the fifth jhana or the first formless jhana. Then from infinite space, it will go up to infinite consciousness. Then they reflect, contemplate, and they use that as an object of meditation. Then consciousness becomes infinite. They experience that. Then after that, they will move on to the sphere of perception or neither perception or, the sphere of nothingness. Like there is nothing. Everything is empty. Okay. That formless rhyme is very still. They live very long. Then finally, it becomes more refined until the mind neither perceive or non-perceive. They call it the rhyme of neither perception or non-perception. Means it's like they exist for very long. They neither perceive or non-perceive. And their mind becomes so quiet, so still, but it's in jhana, the jhanic state. So these are the other realms. But this one doesn't bring forth enlightenment. you will not realize Nibbana, except the beings that are born in the pure abode. There are five rhymes within the 16 Brahma rhyme, the pure abode, where these Anagami are born, the third stage of sinhood. So that one, there are Aryas there. But the others, you are not enlightened. When you are born up there, you live very long, but you will still fall slowly, slowly. So that is how the Buddhist teaching is developed and recorded. And according to Sakyamuni Buddha, there are a total of 31 possible plane of existence for living beings to take birth. So this mandema is very important. All of meditation is to understand this mandema, how it creates, how it manifests, and how it conditions living beings through delusion into suffering and misery. So when your true mind, silent mind, observe and see all this, it will develop the wisdom and the understanding. And that is how you meditate. You don't use the thought, but the thought cannot understand. The thought is egoic. It's incapable of awareness. That's why it cannot understand what is going on. Then this mundane mind has the senses, the physical senses, the five basic physical senses, and the brain, the sixth sense. Upon contact of the senses with the sense data and the mundane mind, or the consciousness that is trapped inside, it triggers all the respective sense door consciousness, like your seeing consciousness, your smell, your taste, your hearing, your tactile, and your thought consciousness. So this one, when they manifest, it created the external world of form, external phenomenal world. So this external phenomenal world is the external manifestation of mind created via mental consciousness. And this is what the external form is all about, right? External form. So these are all external manifestation of mind. So you need to return all this creation from the mundane mind, means the external manifestation of mind, the external phenomenal world of consciousness and form. You have to cease all this and return. Because it's from there, the mundane mind, it arises. Through your perception, through your aggregates of mind. Then when you see them like real, but when you start to understand their universal characteristic, like I have taught you, learn to see form, the unreality of form. Then learn to see beyond form. Then form has no power over you. That's how the phenomenal world of form collapses in front of you. And you can return to the mundane mind. That's why you observe the mundane mind. Then you understand. It's from there everything comes. Then the phenomenal world of consciousness is the same. Your aggregates of mind, they are also impermanent with the universal characteristic. You attach and cling, one thing's your way, suffering comes to be. And because they are impermanent, it's non-self, empty, no reality. So all this will enable you to free your mind, not to be deceived by it, not to be entangled by it. So all this external form, external phenomenal world of consciousness, they will collapse. They will have no power over you. That's how you can develop the understanding to free the mind. And you will not be deceived, deluded. You will not grasp, you will not cling, you will not hold. Then you realize this is the mundane mind that is responsible for all this creation. Then when you cease that mundane mind, you realize your true nature, your true mind. Then when you continue to relax, maintain awareness, and let things be, then you will realize the cessation of form and mind that will lead you back to your Buddha nature, oneness nature, or source, the true nature, the unconditioned. Then you realize enlightenment or Nibbana. And Nibbana is a cessation of all memory. So this process is very important. You have to understand how you come out. Then you will know how to return and cease the mind. That is what meditation is about. Meditation is to understand this process, how you manifest, and how from the Buddha nature, the first thing to come out with the former mind is the true mind, away. Then from there, the mundane mind come out. Then from the mundane mind, the phenomenal world through your senses become like real. External phenomenal world of form and consciousness. So when you know how you create, you must know how to return through the meditation. So when you return, then you realize no more delusion, no more problem. Then when you stay with the true mind, you know how to live life, you know how to act, you know how to experience life to the fullest. Okay, from here, I will take you to the end, the Appendix 6. So now I will explain, then you understand. Appendix 6a, Trinity to understand cultivation. So our pure awareness that come out from the oneness nature or the Buddha nature is represented as C up there in the apex of the triangle. So from the essence of mind, this pure awareness is like your essence of mind. They came out to your oneness nature or your true nature or your original nature. And this one is the unconditioned, means no word, no concept, nothing. It's not a being, nothing. And this one is beyond thought, beyond mind, and beyond time also. Then cannot be perceived or sensed, where there is nothing inside that. Then this is just pure awareness, the awareness nature, the silent mind, the stillness nature. So from there, you start to act. You start to live life. So if you go this way, which is the triangle, the slope, this direction, to the S down there. S is the senses. So this is where our form and mind is, the senses. So you look down here, the five aggregates of form and mind. So this is where the senses are. Mundane thinking mind, consciousness that arise through the sense basis. Upon contact, they come to be. So the sense basis are with our physical body. So our mind is the mundane thinking mind and the consciousness. And these two interact. So the five aggregate form and mind, they interact, and there is this law, dependent origination, paticca samuppada, the dwelling. This is the law that governs all of mind, how we function as a human being. So for mundane living, we come out through this pure awareness. We experience life through the senses. So this C, initially, the pure consciousness or awareness, create mundane living or experiences. If you straight away go to the senses, then the mundane consciousness come to be, the six type of respective consciousness come to be. And this one is mundane living, mundane experiences. So this is how most deluded beings live their life. Okay? Whereas if you go the meditative way, it's different. You don't meditate with the mundane mind. You don't come direct from here and use the thought to meditate. If you do this, you cannot understand. You have to use this pure awareness, the true mind, the silent mind. This is what Hui Ning said, no thought. Wu nian. So from here, your pure awareness, your silent mind, your meditative mind, you use this to meditate. We are the direct seeing, to see things as they are. Means silent mind, we are the direct seeing, or sati and pure awareness, to see things as they are, to develop the understanding or the wisdom. So this is the awakening, first, second, and third turning wisdom. So when you develop this wisdom, born of right view, you straighten your view, you have yoniso manasikara. So when this wisdom is developed, when it arises, it's connected to the form and mind. See this arrow? This one is for noble living. This is noble living, no more mundane living. And this is how you live your life. Okay? So meditation is from the pure awareness, you use it to develop the awakening through the direct seeing, not through the thought, not through the thinking process. This is how you develop them. Then I will move on. What is a trained mind? This is very important. A trained mind is always silent, heedful, peaceful, relaxed, and naturally aware within. So you check if your mind is not with all these characteristics, then you are not doing it correctly. Means your mind has not been trained yet. So if your mind is always silent, heedful, peaceful, relaxed, and naturally aware within, then I congratulate you. I salute you. Means you are already trained. Your mind is already trained and you are destined for enlightenment because you will be heedful. The second characteristic is it has the clarity born of inner peace and inner awareness to see things as they are, leading to the wisdom needed to arise the yoniso manasikara or wise attention at every moment of sense experience. So that one is always at peace with the moment to live life. So this one, you must have the initial wisdom. Otherwise, you cannot be in this state. Clarity, born of inner peace and inner awareness to see things as they are. So this one is very important, leading to the initial wisdom. The third characteristic is, it will listen to you. You want it to be silent, it will be silent. You want it to be peaceful and aware, it will just do that. That's why the trained mind is so different. Like the dog, you ask him to sit, he sit. You ask him to go, he go. He will not go against you. Means you already trained. The next characteristic is you can use it and direct it appropriately to cultivate noble effort path leading to the heedfulness. Then the next point is it will become like a servant to you. It will serve you well. Then the last one is a trained mind is ever mindful and constantly meditative. Hence, it is the base from which wisdom will keep on arising. You will come to know your wisdom keep on arising. Okay? So I think with this, the untrained mind, of course, very easy. You can read yourself. Then how to train the mind. This appendix 6 is very good. The untrained mind is heedless. I continue a bit. It thinks a lot. You go and check your mind. If it thinks a lot, then you know it's heedless. And it reacts easily to sense experience and is constantly lost in thought most of the time. As per Dhammapada verse 21, the heedless are as if dead. It's like a devil's workshop. And it will make you very evil. You have no control over it. It actually controls you and takes over your life, causing you misery and suffering. The thinking mind, the mundane mind, which is heedless, need to be trained. Deluded with wrong thought, it easily become angry, selfish, emotional, and fearful, hence the suffering. It has no understanding of what is going on in life. It lacks wisdom because it is deluded. Then 6.3 is on how to train your mind. This one I leave it to you.